Everyone that I know of likes to receive a reward. We like to be rewarded for hard work. We like to be rewarded for good behavior. We like to be rewarded for making good grades in school. People like to receive a reward. I'm sure you do as well as I do. And God knows that, and He has a reward for us set in heaven if we will come and obey the New Testament gospel and be baptized into Christ and live faithfully. We are promised a reward in heaven. I want to talk about how great that reward is this morning on the program, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today. Let's talk about that great reward in heaven, so hopefully we will have our minds set on that. Jesus spoke of the reward in heaven in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. We have to endure in times of persecution because great is your reward in heaven. Do you know that heaven is laid out as a reward for you, friend? Why not take advantage of that? In the same Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about not doing your good works to be seen of men, but do them with a sincere heart, not to be pleasing of men, but to be pleasing of God. And Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 3, but when you do alms or good deeds, let not your left hand know what the right hand does, that thine alms or good deeds or charity may be in secret, and thy Father who sees in secret shall reward thee. What a great opportunity to think about that great reward in heaven. In Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus sent out the apostles, he that receives you, that is, receives the words of the apostles, and we can do that today by reading the scripture, receives me, and he that receives me receives him, God, that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And who shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple? Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So Jesus spoke of a reward. The Apostle Paul speaks of a reward in the work of bringing people to Christ and growing them and maturing them and working together with others to spread the gospel. There's going to be a reward for that. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, now he that plants and he that waters are one, but each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. This is talking about the labor of preaching the gospel and bringing people to Christ. And starting in verse 10, he talks about when someone comes to Christ, they continue to grow and they're built upon the foundation of Christ, and we help other people grow. And when we do that, Paul writes in verse 14, if any man's work shall abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. The writer of the book of Hebrews, talking about the importance of faith and an active faith, an active obedient faith, and he uses different Old Testament characters to illustrate an active obedient faith. The writer talks about in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to be well pleasing unto him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. We've got to seek God, friends. And we do that when we read and obey our Bible, and when we become a Christian, and when we pray, and when we seek after God in our worship on Sunday together with other Christians. When we seek God, we'll find Him. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek and you shall find." And when we find God and apply Him in our lives, there will be a reward. He is a rewarder of them that seek after Him. And that's a great privilege to be given that. And it's a great encouragement to know that that lies ahead if we will remain faithful. And the Apostle John in 3 John verse 8 writes of the reward, "Look to yourselves," speaking to Christians, "that you lose not the things which we have wrought or worked, but that you receive a full reward." After you become a Christian, don't lose what you have gained in Christ. Don't go backward. Don't go back to the world. Don't give up on faithful living, but keep pressing forward so that you will receive a full reward, and that ultimately will be in heaven. There are a number of rewards for being a faithful Christian now. Answered prayer and forgiveness of sins and fellowship with other godly Christians and the joy of serving Christ. But that ultimate reward will be in heaven itself. So this morning, friends, let's talk about the great reward. And I want to consider this morning five characteristics of that great reward. Number one, it is certain. Number two, it is future. Number three, it is in heaven. Number four, it is great. And number five, it is conditional. So let's take a look at that. Jesus said, "Great is your reward in heaven." First of all, that reward is certain. It is spoken by God. It is spoken by Jesus. God and Jesus do not lie. Paul writes in the little book of Titus that God does not lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And so when God says that there's a reward, it is certain. Solomon in the Old Testament spoke of its certainty. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 18, Solomon writes, "The wicked earns deceitful wages, but he that sows righteousness has a sure reward." It is sure, it is certain, because it is given by God, and God does not go back on His word. God does not make a promise and then break it. God does not make a reward in heaven and then something down the road happens to it and it doesn't come to pass. When Peter writes about heaven in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, "An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." It's reserved in heaven and it's not going anywhere. That reservation is not going to be canceled. That reservation is not going to be moved somewhere else to the earth, for example. It's in heaven. And so it's certain. And we can have great faith in that and trust in that. Jesus spoke of its certainty in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, on the night of His arrest and betrayal before going to the cross. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus spoke in Mark 9, 41, "Whosoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say unto you, he will by no means lose his reward." Notice that statement, assuredly. Assuredly. It's certain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul was certain of this reward. He writes, "For we know that if our house," talking about our earthly body, "this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." He's talking about the heavenly body that the faithful Christian will receive when Jesus comes again. But Paul writes, "For we know." Notice the certainty of that. Peter is certain of the promise. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness." And Peter, if you turn over to 2 Peter 3, he is certain of that because he is basing his certainty on what has happened before. Just like God, through his word, created the world, verse 5, and just like God, with his word, brought a flood upon the earth, in verses 6 and 7, with God's word, he's going to bring about a judgment day in which the earth and the works are going to be burned up, and we're going to receive a new heavens and a new earth. And Peter says, according to his promise. There were those who were mocking the promise of the coming of Jesus. They were mocking that. He hasn't come yet, so he must not be coming. And Peter says, don't act like that. Don't think like that. You've got to look back and remember the word of God that brought about the world and the word of God that brought about the flood, and that same word is going to bring about a coming judgment. John writes about the promise with certainty in 1 John 2:25. John writes, "And this is the promise that he promised us, eternal life." Paul writes with certainty about the future reward in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." John writes in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer," writing to Christians at the end of the first century who were suffering under the Roman Emperor Domitian. "Don't fear that. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days, but be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." These are certain promises. And so number one, our great reward in heaven is certain. People make all kinds of promises. Political candidates make promises. Parents, other people make promises, and a lot of times spouses, and a lot of times they break those promises. And you can't really be certain sometimes of what man is saying about a future promise, but you can trust God. He does not lie. He does not go back on his word. But a second characteristic of the great promise and reward of the future is that it is future. It's not life now. People talk about heaven on earth now. It's not now. It's not something that we can experience now. Earthly circumstances are in no way like heaven. Heaven is completely better. And we need to understand that God is not settling all of his accounts in the here and now. There will be a future coming judgment day. And so we've got to be careful about when we see the wicked flourishing and the righteous hurting in some way, we can't say, well, that's just the way it's going to be. There is a future coming judgment in which all will be rectified. The psalmist had trouble with this, and he was looking at the prosperity of the wicked and seeing how that they are always at ease and they're very prosperous, and it was causing him pain. But then he says, "I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their latter end." There's a coming judgment day in which the wicked are going to be punished and the righteous are going to be rewarded. And so Jesus said, "Great is your reward in heaven." in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 24 and 26 through 26, the Hebrew writer writes about the faith of Moses. And he says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He didn't just look at the here and now, look at all of the pleasures of Egypt and all of the riches of Egypt, and this is what I want to be spending my life in doing. But he looked to the future. He was willing to leave that great place in Egypt and lead Israel through the wilderness wandering and look ahead to the great reward of Canaan land. And so it is future. Friends, we've got to keep our eyes on the future. Heaven is not here and now, and many things that go unpunished now or unrewarded now, it will take place in the judgment day. And so we have to keep our eye on the future. Now, that future may be sooner than you think. Jesus tells us in the New Testament that he will come as a thief in the night. He could come at any time. So that future may be very close to us, but it is future nonetheless. Number three, this great reward in heaven is in heaven. Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. It's not on the earth. It's not a 1,000 year of Christ reign on the earth. It's not the Jehovah's Witness earthly paradise. And used to this matter of paradise on earth was confined to people like the Jehovah's Witnesses, but there's many denominations today that have borrowed from that, and they say that heaven is going to come to the earth. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5 that I read earlier, our inheritance is in heaven, and our hope, Colossians 1, 5, is a hope of heaven. In John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus went to prepare a place for the righteous. He didn't go to earth. He went back to heaven to prepare a place there for the righteous to be in. And so there are different religious groups that have heaven coming to earth, or Jesus reigning on the earth for 1,000 years in his kingdom. The kingdom is now. We can be in the kingdom now, Colossians 1, 13 and 14. But it is in heaven. So we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven. And our hope, Colossians 1, 5, is laid up for you in heaven. So it's not heaven on earth. There are some beautiful places here on the earth. Maybe you've seen some of those beautiful places like Hawaii and other places, but heaven is not on the earth. We need to keep our eyes with the eye of faith. We need to be reading about heaven. We get a glimpse. You can read about heaven in Revelation 7, Revelation 14. You can get a glimpse of heaven in Revelation 21 in the first part of chapter 22. And keep reading those passages and keep your eyes on that goal. It's very important. Number four, we're told that our reward is great in heaven, greater than anything earth has to offer. The devil says, what you have in the here and now, that's the best it's going to be. He doesn't want you to be thinking about heaven being a much greater place. It's eternal in nature. It's a place where God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will be. It's a place where all the righteous of all time will be. There won't be any sin there. No sinners, no sin, no wickedness, no devil, Nothing bad will be there. Everything but good will be there. It's described as a paradise, just like God placed Adam and Eve in a paradise in the Garden of Eden. Heaven will be the return to that. So what Adam and Eve lost in Genesis 3 can be regained in Jesus Christ, Revelation 22, 1 through 5, to be around the tree of life in the Garden of Eden in paradise. And it's great. It's greater than anything you will have ever experienced in this life. The psalmist in Psalm 19 and verse 11 speaks about the importance of keeping and obeying the word of God, and he writes, "Moreover, by them," that is the commandments of God, the word of God, "thy servant is warned, in keeping them, there is great reward." Keeping them, obedience, great reward. In this life, there are some really good things that you can experience. A good marriage, a good family, a good spiritual family in the church, you can be healthy, you can have a good job. Living by God's word will bring a lot of rewards, and then the greatest of all will be heaven itself. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Great is your reward in heaven. Jesus, in speaking of the judgment day, speaks of how all mankind are going to be gathered on the judgment day. Read Matthew 25, starting in verse 30, "And the Son of Man," Jesus, "will come, and he will be the judge, and all mankind will be separated on the right hand and on the left. The righteous will go into eternal life, and the wicked will go into eternal or everlasting punishment." Matthew 25, 46. Everlasting punishment. Think about that. That's hell fire. Everlasting punishment. But the righteous into eternal or everlasting life. It's great. And we need to remember that. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4, John writes, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." That's just one of several statements that we have about what will be taking place in heaven, and what a great place that will be. In the life now, we have crying and sorrow and death and problems and sin. We get to go and be in a place where that does not exist. Friends, that should motivate us and move us to get up and obey the gospel if we haven't done that, or to come back to the Lord if we have left him, and get our eyes up off of the earth only. Paul writes in Colossians 3, 1 and following, to set your minds on things that are above, not on the earth. Yes, we have to go about our daily activities, but with the eye and mind of faith, we're always thinking above. And you typically hit for what you're aiming for. If you're aiming and shooting for heaven above, you're going to hit that. So you've got to get your sights on that. And then last of all, this great reward in heaven is conditional. It's conditioned on the fact that we must obey God and serve him faithfully. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So it's not just saying Lord or recognizing that there's a God, but doing the will of the Father. We do that by obeying the New Testament. It's very important. And we have to live properly. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, speaking of himself, "Know you not that they who run a race run, but one receives the prize? Even so run that you may attain. And every man that strives in the game exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run, he's talking about living the Christian life, not as uncertainly I fight, but not as beating the air, but I buffet my body or control it and bring it into bondage, lest by any means after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. Living the self-controlled life. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, I am already being offered, and the time of my departure or death is come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. His faithful living, that's what caused him, and that's what will cause him to get that crown of life in heaven. The Hebrew writer wrote of Jesus, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Heaven is not just for everyone, it's for those who obey Jesus. The Hebrew writer goes on to write in chapter 10 and verse 36, for you have in need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Notice the statement, after you have done the will of God. Not thinking about it, not planning on it, but after we've done the will of God, that's when we get the promise and the reward. James writes in James 1 and verse 12, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. And blessed is the man that endures temptation, for after he has been approved, he shall receive the promise, what the Lord has promised to them that love him. When he has been approved, when he has shown that he is obedient. And it is very important to stay faithful all the way to the end. Jesus, at the end of the book of Revelation, says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to render to each man according to his work. Friends, the reward is great. It is certain. We need to believe it and trust it. It is future. We need to be waiting for it and keeping our eyes focused on it. It is in heaven. We need to be desiring it. We need to be reading about it in our Bible. We need to be thinking about it. This great reward is great. It's not just a trivial thing. We need to esteem it highly. We need to honor it, and we need to appreciate it so much that we will do what God wants us to do to get it. And last of all, it's conditional. We have to obey the will of God. And after we've done that, and having done that, we will receive the promise. Friends, if you haven't obeyed the will of God in the New Testament by being baptized into Christ, let us help you to do that. Please contact us. Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.